Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus, along with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. It is the first of our off-season shows. Unfortunately, no postseason this time around for the Guardians. So we are into our postseason shows, and coming up a little bit later on in this edition of Guardians Weekly, we will hear from the Director of Player Development for the Guardians, Rob Serfolio, have a complete report on AAA Columbus, those players that are closest to the major leagues that haven't quite made an impact yet. Rob will fill us in on the season that was for the Clippers and who is making some really good progress towards the major leagues and helping the Guardians in the very near future. We will take a break shortly, and then when we come back, we will hear the press conference that Terry Francona and President of Baseball Operations Chris Antonetti held for the assembled media earlier this week, officially announcing Tito's retirement and what the future holds for him. If you haven't heard it yet, some really good stuff from both Chris and Tito on the past and what lies ahead for both as the team moves forward for the first time in 11 seasons without Terry Francona. So that's coming your way shortly, but first we'll take a timeout and have more after this on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Those are sports sounds. And people love sports so much, it makes them pay attention when I say, drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
It's way back. It's out of here.
And we all know how sports fans feel about big saves.
What a save!
See what I did there? Save is also a sports word. So save big when you switch to Progressive. Ooh, that's a golf clap.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
The pitch, down in the dirt, ball one. Fans on their feet chanting Tito. You know how badly this Cleveland club wants to win it for Tito. And 29,000 on their feet want it just as badly. The pitch, swing a little tapper, right side, trickling down the line. Fair ball, Naylor grabs it, steps on the bag, ball game.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. And don't forget, our shows continue throughout the offseason, at least for the month of October. They will air at 5 p.m. in the Cleveland market on our flagship station, WTAM, and others that pick it up along the network. Check out your local listings for when they air the program. It's also available in podcast form wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Well, earlier this week, it was official, and something that we knew and obviously was official before that, but the final press conference for manager Terry Francona, after 11 seasons, more wins than any other manager in franchise history, he finished with 921, and his record during his time as Cleveland manager starting in 2013, he had more wins than any other major league manager during that time. So just a tremendous run for Tito with the Guardians. One World Series appearance, 9 winning seasons. He won 3 American League Manager of the Year awards, 4 American League Central Division titles, and 6 postseasons for the Guardians under Tito's watch. Just a tremendous run for him. And earlier this week, he, along with President of Baseball Operations, Chris Antonetti, met with the media, and Chris had some heartfelt words about the impact that Tito had on this organization.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming out today. Want to get to your questions as soon as we can, but I thought I'd start by just thanking Tito. I know it'll make him a little bit uncomfortable, but I need to do it. It's hard to believe that, you know, October of 2012 is 11 years ago. The day, you know, Tito decided to join the organization, we were filled with, you know, hope and optimism about what the future might hold. And 11 years later, we get to look back and think about all that Tito has helped accomplish and the legacy that he and the imprint that he leaves, not only on the organization and the community, but on the individual lives of so many people. Tito is an extraordinary teammate, and that's probably where it starts. He is the person that is always thinking about other people and the organization ahead of himself. And he has helped set the bar for us on what that looks like and what that means to be a great teammate that's always thinking about others. As a leader, he helped build a culture of winning, but more importantly than that, a culture of deep care. He cared about individuals far more than anyone else. And he has a unique and has a unique ability to bring a group of people together as a team aligned around a common purpose and create a really fun environment along the way, and an environment where people always wanted to come to the ballpark and do their best. He found a unique way to bring out the best of everyone, whether that was coaches, players, front office staff. He made every single one of us better, and we're eternally grateful for that. But for each of those things, I think the thing that I know I'll be thinking about, and I know many others, is the impact he's had on each of us, whether that's coaches, players, front office members, people in the community. He's left an indelible mark on us as individuals. And so, there's a range of emotions I've probably felt and a number of us have felt over the last few weeks and few months. Certainly some sadness that Tito will be stepping away and stepping into a new role. But most importantly, and the thing I'm left with, is just an immense amount of gratitude for everything that Tito has given our organization, the players, the coaches, the support staff, everyone in the front office, and every member of our community. I think he has left an indelible legacy that will continue to impact the organization for years to come. And I think it's important to recognize that Tito has helped build a really strong foundation for us organizationally. Oftentimes when there's a change in the manager's position, it's because things have gone awry organizationally and there needs to be a massive change. Thankfully, that's not where we are. Obviously, this year didn't go the way we wanted, and we'll get a chance to talk about that. But we're in a really healthy place organizationally, and in large part, thanks to Tito's contributions. So our opportunity now is to figure out how do we build from that? How do we create a future? How do we build on the foundation that's in place? And that's what we'll be focused on from this point forward. So with that, I'll open up, unless you have anything you want to say. Sorry for being long-winded. We'll answer any questions you have.
Is that a new role?
Yeah, I mean, Tito and I and Mike have, you know, contemplated, you know, at different points in the past, whenever he got to the point that he would step aside as manager, that we would love to have him continue to work in some capacity or organization. So he will have a role with us moving forward. Exactly what that looks like, we'll take some time to figure out. We don't have clear parameters around that, but he'll stay engaged with the organization in some way. But the first priority is, you know, Tito getting healthy, taking care of himself. And then, you know, at the right time, we'll talk about what's next.
Are you leaving the door open, Tito, to possibly come back? I know you said over the last month or so that, you know, you're kind of seeing, you're not worrying about tomorrow.
You know, I never was real concerned about the word retire, because I guess when you say retire, it's like, well, you're going home and not doing anything. I know I need to go home and get healthy and see what I miss about our game. And then maybe, you know, after some time, see the best way to maybe quench that appetite, whatever it is. I don't foresee managing. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody does. Because if I was going to manage, I like doing it here. But I also don't want to just turn away from the game. Don't feel that way either. So we'll kind of see. And Chris and Cherney, the guys, they've been so good about this. We'll figure something out that, you know, makes sense. And but until you know what it is, just, you know, I just need some time. I mean, normally after a season, I need some time anyway. This is a little different.
Was this in the works all along that you would still have some role in the organization?
This was in the works when I signed my last contract. That's been a while.
I mean, I think we were clear that we wanted Teeter to continue to manage here for as long as he was able to. And then if at some point that ended, we contemplated having continue having a relationship with him in some role once he stepped aside. So whenever that happened, we had thought about this in advance.
There's not many times when, like Chris said, when a manager leaves, I mean, the first press conference, everybody hugs, get a uniform. There's not many when you're going to hug after the second one. So it's just a little bit different, and it's not a bad thing at all. It's great.
What kind of input will you have on your replacement, if any?
I don't need to. Chris and Sharon, we talked so much about everything, but I was kind of clear to them that, you know, I've been in this job for 11 years, and I certainly have my way of doing things, for better or worse. And the next guy that comes in, they need to find the next guy that they can hopefully spend 11 years with and have as much fun and hopefully a ton of success. It doesn't need to be my parameters. I don't think that's fair to these guys. If they ask me questions, sure, I'll be happy to keep. But that's all it is.
Chris, do you see yourself going outside the organization or internal?
We'll consider both internal and external candidates.
Terry, Chris had said you always had a way of bringing out the best in others, organization, players, coaching. You got a reputation for getting guys to play hard. How have you always got players to buy in, maybe even more so than they had on somebody?
Well, I if I had the exact answer, I'd be wealthier. I think it starts with being honest. Think when you develop relationships with players, you not only have the ability to ask things that are kind of, it's a big ask, but you can have difficult conversations with them also, and you don't lose them because you develop relationships. But just kind of been honest with them. Like we don't run the first because of how it looks. We run hard to first because we think it puts us in a better position to win. And at the same time, and our players don't know this, I've told them this a million times, the same guy that'll run to first when he's frustrated is the same guy that's going to show up on time. It's the same guy that's going to back up bases. It carries over into the whole game. And that's why we spend so much time on it.
Hey, when you think of the biggest what ifs, look back in your career, the rain delay in 2016 in Game 7. What do you think happens if it doesn't?
I don't do what ifs. I really never have. When I got hurt as a young player, I moved on. I viewed it as an opportunity. Even when I'd go back to the minor leagues, I'd stay in the you guys have been around me so much. I stay in the moment. I think it's the best way to handle whatever comes at you. And then you try to learn from what happened. But I don't do that. Whether it's when we won or when we lost, just do the best you can and you make the best decisions you can and move on.
Did you do a good job of soaking this up the last month or so? A lot of people have said some nice things about it. Have you enjoyed it?
You know what? It's hard to answer. I mean, what happened the last game, it was touching. I was uncomfortable as hell. But it was very touching. I think what's more important to me is I didn't have to spend the last month doing anything different. I had 11 years of it here. That's what is so good. That's why I'm not sad. I was telling Christian, I know the bar's low, but I'm a way better person now for coming here. This has been good, man. I came here for the right reasons. I think I'm leaving for the right reasons. And in between, it's been really good. And that doesn't mean we haven't been challenged. we get challenged all the time, but doing it with people you respect and care about, and you know care about you.
Obviously, a lot of changes in baseball last offseason, but is there any one particular one that you attribute such a, I mean, it's kind
of, well, I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that, but I think it's a combination of factors. The thing I can say clearly is there was a dramatically different and energized environment in the ballpark that I know from, you know, players, staff, everyone really appreciated the energy that was in the ballpark maybe more consistently than over the past few years. So hopefully we can continue to build on that momentum. And, you know, we continue to believe we have one of the, you know, the best ball, most beautiful ballparks in baseball to watch and enjoy baseball games. And if we can put a compelling team on the field and marry those two things, hopefully more people will continue to come out.
You made it clear what you like about him, but what are you looking for in the next manager? What qualities are most important to try to figure out this play?
Yeah, I think we continue to look for a partner to help us lead the organization, someone who can hopefully help us build upon the foundation we have, but also, you know, challenge us to think about things differently. I think that's one of the things I've really treasured about the dynamic we have with Tito, is we all have very different views of the world. And I think we're at our best when we can, you know, have a productive dialogue back and forth and explore all different avenues and ways we can attack the challenges that we have. And so hopefully we can find a leader that's aligned and share similar beliefs and similar values, but can help us grow and get better as an organization.
Chris, is there an ideal time you'd like to have that manager in place?
Yeah, ideally it's as soon as possible, but reality often conflicts with what would be ideal. So, like I said, we'll continue internal and external candidates. And, you know, the most important thing is that we get to the right, you know, we get to the right person. And if we can do that quickly, great. But if it takes us, you know, a month or longer, then that's the necessary time frame. But the most important thing is getting the right person.
Do you think we'll ever see you on our television sometime in the future when it's all said and done?
Oh boy, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. If I was going to travel, I'd probably stay doing this job. I mean, there's reasons I'm stepping down. I haven't really thought about it. I'm being truthful. I don't know. There's not a team in Tucson, so that would, you know, we'll see. I don't know what I'm going to do. Kind of looking forward to getting home and not thinking about it and kind of see how things kind of come together and what I miss, because I don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah, some great stuff there from Terry Francona and Chris Antonetti earlier this week. Hope you enjoyed that as they got into a lot of different subjects, but certainly some time now for Tito to kind of stop, take a deep breath, get healthy, and then see what the future holds for him. But at least in the short term, looks like some input on things happening around the Guardians. I'll try and figure out exactly what that means, but great to have him still in the organization, at least for the time being. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from Rob Serfolio. He's the Guardians Director of Player Development. That comes your way shortly after this timeout. Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland as we begin our off-season editions of Guardians Weekly. As again, we're with you 52 weeks a year throughout the calendar, whether it's off-season, in-season, spring training, you name it, we have it. And right now, not officially hot stove because the postseason is still going on, but our off-season editions begin. And we had a chance to visit with Rob Serfolio recently as the minor league seasons have concluded, and he'll fill us in on some of the best and the brightest down at AAA Columbus, some players who could be very close to making an impact at the major league level. But when we caught up with Rob, we asked him about the minor league season being done and what it's like now with no games to follow and players to watch on a regular basis.
You know, Rosie, I hope my wife doesn't listen to this recording, but you get bored pretty quickly. you get the added benefit of, you know, having some fun conversations. We did a lot of this year with guys at our affiliates right down the stretch. And then we brought a handful of guys into Cleveland to really recap their seasons. And, you know, we call them exit meetings, but it's what a great opportunity to sit down with a bunch of our players, review the the primary parts of their year, both from a performance and development standpoint, and then, you know, put a couple targets on the wall for where we want to go moving forward and how we're going to accomplish that. So no games is a little bit boring. I won't lie to you, but it creates opportunity for some different types of planning and sit downs with our guys to really, you know, put all of our arrows in the right direction for the off season.
And we'll circle back to that process a little bit later on in our conversation, but heading to Columbus and talking about some of the players there, position player-wise in the outfield, some interesting progress by two power hitters, John Kenzie Noel and Jonathan Rodriguez. Yep. First with Rodriguez, I know he started at the double A level. The progress he made, what did you see from him? What allowed him to really put some big numbers up?
Yes, you know, I mean, we talked about him last year a little bit, Rosie, just the outlier type power that he has. And, you know, you look at some of the exit velos, whether it's average numbers, whether it's peak exit velos, he's always been a guy that has been, you know, kind of top of the spear for our organization in terms of being able to put a charge into a baseball. And last year, we really made some progress with just his batted ball profile, getting him to put that hard contact in angles that are going to lead to a little bit more consistent production. And J-Rod really just, you know, kind of picked right up where he left off in Akron at the end of last year's beginning of this year, and continued to go out there and, you know, had an okay first month, but then really picked it up after that. And he did a lot of the same things when he, you know, the second half of the year when he made his way up to Columbus. So, you know, still a young hitter that's adjusting and adapting to upper level pitching and just the chess match that is the pitcher catcher relationship and how you prepare and build an approach and adjust that in live time and then do that again a couple innings later based on what just happened. So those are some of the things that we're really emphasizing with J-Rod, but you know, some of the tool set that he has to go out there and produce and hit for power is something that not a lot of guys have. So it was pretty cool to see him, you know, pick right up and not have a huge adjustment period making that level jump.
And John Kenzie Noel, he finished with 27 home runs and 85 runs driven in. It almost seems like all of that was maybe after the halfway point for him.
Yeah.
What clicked in for him that allowed him to have more success in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, really similar thoughts to J-Rod, you know, another young power hitter that has, even from the time he was 16 in the DSL, Kenzie was hitting balls out of the ballpark. And so now it's kind of those finer elements of how do you become a professional hitter and do that consistently? And you know, to Noel's credit, and Junior Betances is our hitting coach, and Andy Tracy obviously, you know, has a lot of experience as a productive hitter himself dating back to his career, really again dug into just how do we tap into that power more consistently. When's the right time to try and hit a line drive to the opposite field gap? How is it that, you know, you're preparing for each at bat and the pitcher that day? So getting into some of the finer elements of knowing his strength and where those parts of the zone are and really building an approach to be able to hopefully allow him to go from a, you know, a 210, 215, 220 hitter to someone that's able to get on base really consistently and still maintain, you know, that power production that he's capable of.
And in terms of defense, how are both in the outfield as far as being able to go out there and maybe impact a game defensively?
Yeah, we've played both those guys in both left and right field this year, and they each have an absolute weapon of an arm. So they can impact the game with how they're throwing two bases. And they both just continue to get better when it comes to range. You know, Noel by trades an infielder from when we first started developing him in the lower parts of the minor leagues. And we added outfield versatility to him last year. And he really improved this year. And, you know, this is a kid that works incredibly hard, is dedicated to being a major leaguer. And he's done a great job continuing to get better. And then he's also played some first base for us and really has great soft hands over there. And for such a big kid is super athletic. So two guys that have some versatility that hopefully can help us in the short term.
Rob Serfolio is joining us. He's the director of player development for the Guardians. Our final minor league report of the season. And Robert talking AAA Columbus and a newly acquired player, small sample size, but what did you see from Kyle Manzardo, the young man that came over in the trade with Tampa Bay at the deadline?
Yeah, so, you know, when we first got Manzardo, he was coming off of a little bit of a very minor shoulder injury from his time with the Rays. And so when that trade happened, we actually ended up sending him to Arizona for about 2 weeks to put a bow on the end of his rehab progression. He went out there, got a little exposure and kind of our return to play progression in Arizona. And then it was great just to get to meet, you know, get to meet Kyle. He's got such a calm presence about him. And I think that shows up whether you're talking to him in the clubhouse or, you know, whether he's in a big spot up at the plate in the ninth inning. And so just getting to know him a little bit and some of the things that make him tick and how he likes to work. And, you know, I think it's been really fun just to get to see his personality and for him to get to learn a little bit about us in terms of how we like to train and, you know, how we want to help him, you know, make that last jump to being a productive big leaguer. So, you know, some of the things he can do in the box is hit the ball all over the place and then, you know, hit a ball out of the ballpark as well. And, you know, over at first, he's got soft hands and can really pick the baseball and help out your infielders. And we're going to continue to work with him to just make him a better and better athlete so that he can go out and hopefully help our major league team here in the short term.
And when we talk young prospects, we always talk infielders. There's a lot of them. Juan Brito, been on the radar for a while now since coming over from Colorado. And how did he transition to AAA? And how excited are you to see what he can do next season?
Yeah, it was fun getting Brito up there late in the year. You know, when Akron ended a week before Columbus did, we thought it would just be a great opportunity for Juan to go see the level that he'll likely spend a lot of time at next year and just, you know, kind of get familiar with the clubhouse, the staff, some of the teammates, the level of competition. We did that with a couple of our guys this year right at the end. You know, we had some players in playoff runs, and when those opportunities ended, we wanted to get them exposure at the level, you know, right above where they are. And Brito fits that mold. And, you know, what an incredible year to start in high A, quickly get up to double A and not miss a beat. And just to his credit, you know, this is a kid that really worked. He's got better defensively. You know, we of course have played him all over the place so that he has multiple avenues to impact the big league lineup on the defensive side. And then, you know, he's just continued to get better and better on offense, just lots of line drives, gap to gap power. You know, this is a fun, exciting young hitter here.
And Brian Rocchio, came up to the major leagues tail end of the season, but most of his year spent in the minor leagues. And what did you see from him that has you excited for the future and his possibilities at the major league level?
Yeah, this was an awesome year for Roque. And, you know, I think a lot of that too is just from his continued maturation as a professional. And he's always been a guy that's been really talented. Yeah, I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, Rose, we were watching a spring training game and he's 18 years old out there making diving plays all over the place. He has always had that natural ability to impact the game on both defense and offense. And some of the things we were talking about with Noel and J-Rod of becoming like that complete upper level professional and just all the little things that go into how you prepare your body, how you prepare for an at-bat. And it was really fun to see Roque just take, you know, huge strides in all those areas. And I think that led to a lot of the on-field success. And then when he's come up to Cleveland, just the way that he's handled those opportunities with a ton of maturity. And when he's come back down, he's been ready to get to work the next day. So was really an awesome year for Roque. And I'm excited that, you know, some of the fans in Cleveland have got an opportunity to see him, albeit in small sample sizes, but hopefully a guy that continues to get more and more.
And one player who had, I'm sure in his mind, a disappointing season numbers wise is George Valera. He's been on the radar as a top outfield prospect for a while, but it sounded like it was a real challenge most of the season for him. And did you see some growth in times of challenges along George Valera's way?
Yeah, you know, it's fun talking about the stories where everything goes right, but a lot of good can come out of those opportunities where, you know, guys face some adversity. And I think everyone out there who knows George Valera has seen the production that he's had from, you know, the early parts of the minor leagues. And you know, I think we're going to be able to use some of the learning points from this year to our advantage. And, you know, a lot of this started out with injury, right? In spring training, he tweaked his wrist in a major league spring training game early in camp. And coming back from that, as we were rehabbing, he tweaked his hamstring, and we were almost playing catch up physically for the first several months of the year. And so, you know, that's not easy for a guy that's, you know, been healthy for the majority of his career to deal with. And to George's credit, I think that last month, you know, we pushed him to get right physically, and he responded, and we saw some of what he's capable of down the home stretch. And so, you know, you look at the numbers across the whole juncture of the year, and chatting with George a little bit last week about his season, you know, he's ready to get to work this off season so that we can just put him in a position to go out there and be the best version of himself in 2024. So I think there's a lot of good that can come out of this, and it'll be fun to get to work here in the next coming months.
Rob Cerfolio joining us. He's the Guardians Director of Player Development. We're talking AAA Columbus in our final minor league report of the season. And switching to the pitching side, Joey Cantillo is someone we've talked about a fair amount this season. And you look back at his year, I know health and being able to take the ball every fifth day is such a big key for any starting pitcher. Did he make some strides along those lines? And what did you see in other areas that really came through for him?
He did, and that was a huge goal for Joey. You know, the two previous years, he had some shoulder fatigue, and, you know, just with the type of velocity and stuff he has, we took a really conservative approach to that, especially towards the end of last year. But, you know, I know Joey, he's one of the hardest working guys that we have in the organization. And I remember talking with him in spring training about just his goals for the year and, you know, some of the things he wanted to prioritize. And there's always, you know, velocity and continuing to refine the arsenal. But a big thing for him was exactly what you said, is taking the ball every fifth day, making all his starts, trying to eclipse the 115 inning mark for the first time in a couple of years. And he did just that and really did a nice job against, you know, his first taste of AAA competition. So Joey has had a great year from a performance standpoint, but also like really learning some of those finer elements of what it takes to be a successful big leaguer on the mound. So hopefully we can build on that next year.
You mentioned earlier about the fall development program, having some players in town in Cleveland during that last homestand. Coaches were there as well. They were there for Tito's final home game. How valuable can that be just for them to be around that atmosphere and see what has been so important to the organization for such a long time?
It was special. And, you know, we had about 28 players up in Cleveland with us for that, you know, guys at various points in their careers in the minor leagues. You know, most of them were AAA, AA guys in high A that had just wrapped up their season. And then we were able to bring up a bunch of our staff too, you know, a lot of our coordinators, a couple of our staff that were with these guys at the affiliates. So, you know, Tito's actually been kind enough to talk to this group pretty much all of the years that we've done this. And so I think it just really sends just some of the family signals that we care so much about here. And then for us to actually be there for his last game and see the fans come out and support just the team and just what Tito has meant to the organization and the city of Cleveland was really cool for some of our young players to kind of see and feel that. And of course, you know, we wish we were, you know, in meaningful baseball games to vie for a playoff spot like we were this time last year. But, you know, that's tough to do year in, year out. And we were still able to make the most just of being able to see that and guys feel some of the energy from the stadium and just what they have to look forward to.
And you mentioned Tito has talked to that group before, and I imagine it's different for every organization, every major league manager. But how involved was he, maybe more so in spring training than any other time, in terms of being involved in player development or at least showing an interest there and making a contribution?
He always has been, which I think is just, you know, speaks volumes to just Tito's care. And, you know, obviously we're a young team at the major league level. So, you know, just being able to chat with him in spring training or, you know, even various points of the year when he sends a text message or something to be able to talk about a guy that's coming up has been really cool. And And even some of the stuff we do with our coach and staff development, Tito's been kind enough, even this last spring training, to come in and spend an hour with our guys and talk about things that are, you know, important for being a successful coach, regardless of what path you go down. So just was, you know, an honor to be able to call him a teammate for the several years that I was able to, and was super grateful of just all the time and interest that he put into our player development group.
Well, Rob, we'll catch up with you at some point in time during the winter time. But as always, thanks so much for the time and your insight on the various players in the system.
No, it's a pleasure to do this every week, and appreciate you having me. And I'm sure we'll be in touch throughout the offseason.
That's Rob Cerfolio. Always does a nice job in filling us in on what's happening at the various levels of the Guardians minor league system, and certainly some optimism with some more top-tier talent heading to Cleveland in the very near future. Stay with us. We'll have some final thoughts after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
The final horse now in the gate, and they're off. They're starting off with a double toe loop jump, leaving a difficult 7-10 split as there's movement on the inside rail. Only 9 pins separate them now as they head to the final quarter mile. They're neck and neck. It's down to the last frame. Here comes the actual jump. They bundled their home and auto insurance with Progressive. Win, strike, savings, gold.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. It's our final segment from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Hope you enjoyed the show this week, and very much a sad time with Tito moving on, but 11 years is an eternity for any manager in Major League Baseball, and his 11 years with Cleveland, second to none. Just a tremendous stretch in this franchise's history with Tito at the helm. We'll miss him, but we wish him the very, very best as he moves forward in his retirement and post-Cleveland managerial career. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Guardians Weekly. As always, thanks to Brian Motze for helping to put together our show each week. We'll join you again next week. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Okay, guys.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.